It's Thursday, September 5th. School is in session. The high school football season is here, and we're here to cover it. This is the Scorebook Live Today podcast, a podcast covering high school sports in Washington. I'm joined, as always, by analyst, columnist, and former NBA player Dan Dickow in Spokane, and fellow reporter Todd Millis in Tacoma. What's keeping you guys busy this week, and are you excited for everything to get going?
I'm extremely excited. I've been busy following all your guys' awesome previews and coverage of Washington high school football leading up to the games this week. I mean, I think everybody as a high school athlete or a former high school athlete remembers that first game of every season, and so you know, I've read all your guys' stuff. You guys are doing a tremendous job, and it'll be exciting and interesting to see, you know, the coverage you guys provide for the games after they happen.
You know, it's opening weekend, so we're going to go at it full crush. I mean, it's tonight, it's Friday night, it's Saturday night, three high school games, all in different type venues. It's going to be fun. I know Andy's going to be busy, and yeah, I'm ready to kind of rock and roll with this. I feel like we've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Well, certainly, and from the vantage of you know, a high school athlete or a coach, this is the build up to this all month through fall camp. This is what you've been working for, and so I know Todd, you and I can kind of you know, share some of that sentiment with just, you know, previewing the teams across the state of Washington, which you can find previews on pretty much every team in Washington on scorebooklive.com/Washington. But it's finally here. And Todd, you're going to be at the first game covered on the Washington site, and that's Skyline Kentwood. Are you excited for that game?
Yeah, kind of two, maybe second tier for a, you know, contenders, teams that are probably both top 10 to top 20 teams in 4A. Kentwood has a lot of talent. They have Mike Bush, who's been there for a few years. They kind of had their first losing season last year, but they get to face a quarterback that's had a lot of buzz in the offseason. His name's Daniel Buxton from Skyline. We all know the quarterback tradition, so it should be a really fun game to kind of kick things off tonight.
I'm certainly looking forward to your coverage, and just from an athlete standpoint, I mean, Dan, you've played in countless opening nights. Does the night and kind of opening the season feel different the more times you do it?
Absolutely. There's nothing like opening night in any sport. You know, I look back at my college career, and the opening night I remember was after I had redshirted from transferring from Washington to Gonzaga. You know, I hadn't played in a game in close to 18-19 months. So I remember that one very clearly. Gonzaga, we played against Yakima Sun Kings, a former CBA team. But as a high school kid, I do remember some of my first tryouts. I was a freshman at Prairie High School. I was able to you know, start the year floating between JV and varsity, and then after about 5-6 games was full-time varsity. And I remember the first practice like it was nothing. I remember the first game very clearly. I mean, I was so small that the shorts were way too big. I had to, like, triple knot them. I remember the sweats. I remember the sweats were too big. And, like, literally I had to figure out, hey, how do I not look like, you know, the fifth grader out in warm-ups that's supposed to be rebounding for everybody else just to get loose for the game? I remember those memories pretty darn clearly. And then, you know, you're going to remember the first time you have a little bit of success or you have your first start. You know, my first start as a freshman was against our rival high school, Battleground High School. I remember, you know, multiple plays during that game. Remember how it felt learning that, hey, I was going to start this game. And then, you know, I remember just different plays and sequences throughout. So all these kids that, you know, are getting ready to play their first game, it's an enormous deal because whether you're a multi-sport athlete or whether you just play football or you just play another fall sport, you've been gearing up and you've been looking towards this date ever since that schedule came out and your athletic director and your coach said, hey, guys, here's our schedule. Girls, here's our schedule. This is where we go. Everybody circles that first game, and then everybody typically schedules their rivalry game. And so these kids have really put in the time and the effort, I'm sure, and it's a chance for them to go out there and show what all their hard work is going to look like. Now there's going to be some great performances, and unfortunately I'm sure there's going to be some poor performances, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of jitters, a lot of butterflies, and there's really nothing like opening night in any sport.
I'm glad Dan was able to kind of glance back at his first varsity start, his first varsity experience, and, you know, a lot of the research that I've done, and I'm sure you can echo this, Andy, there are probably more this year than maybe in a lot of years past. There are a lot of sophomores, ninth graders, that are going to start on varsity. I've talked to more coaches that plan on starting sophomores and ninth graders. There seems to be a lot of talent in those two classes for whatever reason across the board. And so I'm glad that Dan was able to share, you know, hopefully these guys are a little bigger than Dan as ninth graders playing on the football field this, you know, tonight and Friday and Saturday. But it was nice to hear that Dan kind of looked back at what it was like being, you know, his first varsity experience as a ninth grader, because I think a lot of those ninth graders and sophomores are going to experience that this weekend.
I got to be honest. I look back at, you know, you think of some players like, you know, I think of the Kennedy Catholic trio of, you know, Sam Heuer, Jabez Tanay, and, you know, Junior Alexander, who all started as freshmen and just made that big of an impact as freshmen. And it's all the more impressive, you know, given how truly young that is to be starting on a stage like that.
Well, I think, you know, we've touched on in this podcast over the last month or two, you know, the proliferation of AAU basketball and 7-on-7, and you know, there are negatives to it. I'm not going to be, you know, dishonest and tell you they're 100% correct and perfect. But one of the benefits of it is many times it gets kids that are a younger age the ability to test themselves against older kids or kids from outside of their area and prepare themselves. So if they physically are ready to compete as a freshman and or sophomore, they're probably not going to be, you know, kind of reserved or backed down in the situations when they come up anymore. I mean, I remember I was tiny. I was probably 5'8", 145 pounds as a freshman. And that was basketball. You're talking about some freshmen and then sophomores that are playing big possessions in football. You know, that's I'll put it this way. I couldn't have done it. There's a reason I didn't play football growing up, and one of them was because I knew I was always going to be small.
Definitely. And there's so much buildup, you know, remembering back to high school from a student standpoint. I mean, it's the beginning of the year, and, you know, likely it's the first or the second week of school. And just the amount of buildup and school spirit and rah-rah that leads up to the first game, even if it's not a home game, it was just always, I remember it being such an exciting time of year.
Yeah, I remember, you know, the schools being excited, the kids talking about it in class, gearing up, ready to go support, you know, their high school team at District Stadium in Battleground, because we used to share the stadium with for Battleground and Prairie. I think it's always a great way. High school sports are a great way to bring a school together, bring a community together. And a lot of times you see it right off the bat with the first game of the school year, see just how excited people are to get back and support their communities and their schools.
Yeah, I mean, I like to echo some of that. I mean, first, when I was in high school, I went to Foss High School in the late 80s. We weren't very good in football. In fact, I think in my 3 years at Foss, we won 5 total games. And the only team that we beat was down the street Stadium, which it's hard to believe that Stadium was actually worse than Foss at the time. But every year, I do remember opening weekend, you know, everybody, like, you know, it's everybody says it. Everybody's 0-0, 0-0. And there were, you know, Foss had its biggest crowds, no doubt, on that first weekend. I think people were optimistic, hey, maybe we could win more than 2 games this year or 3 games. And I remember that school spirit that first weekend was as good as it got, because, you know, those following weeks, the crowds got smaller and smaller and smaller, unfortunately, in our situation, and a lot of schools don't, but that first weekend was about as good as it got in terms of the school spirit. So even for the programs that aren't used to winning, you know, I think it's special, that opening weekend.
Certainly. And we've pegged some of the top games across the state of the opening weekend, and something exciting about now before we get into to league play is that you've got some really great non-league games of teams from different classifications playing each other. Some of the top teams from one classification playing another, and you know we're gonna be at some good games this weekend. So, you know, starting off obviously with Skyline Kentwood, like you had talked about, Todd, but you're gonna be in the Clink on Friday in a game that the listeners to this podcast can watch from the comfort of their couch.
Yeah, I'm going to be at CenturyLink before the Seahawks this weekend. So, no, it's a game that, and I've written about this on Scorebook Live, that ESPN folks had called in the spring, Kennedy Catholic, obviously with their all their, you know, high profile talent, and said, hey, is there any way we can arrange something as part of our you know, expanding high school coverage on ESPNU? And you know, fortunately, their AD, Sam Reed, was able to make it work. So I get to see Sam Heward test Peter Latu, the really high-profile safety from Bethel, who's an Oregon commit, on Friday night in an NFL stadium, in an NFL press box, which I'm not going to be able to be in for the rest of the year. So, yeah, I mean, it's another high-profile game. Great way to kind of kick off Friday night coverage. And then, obviously, you and I are going to be Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. We're going to be at Bellevue High School, and we're going to see a little of Dan Dickow's GSL flavor when Central Valley comes over here and plays Bellevue and that notorious Wing T. So it's a great slate of like you said, different games from different classifications, high-profile talent, teams with high expectations, teams that maybe are flying under the radar. I know Graham Kapalhausen plays Sheldon, so there's some intra-state games on that first weekend. It's always a nice blend on those first couple weekends before, like you said, we get into league play, and it's the same rivalries that we see every year.
Definitely. On Friday night, I'll be at Lincoln of Tacoma, one of the top teams in 3A, gets a rematch against Camas down at Doc Harris Stadium in Camas, which is a really exciting place to watch a football game. It really fills up for Camas home games. But that's going to be a fun game because last year the two teams played, Camas being obviously, you know, one of the top 4A teams across the state, Lincoln a very strong 3A team. They played last year at Lincoln, and boy, was that ever a game. I was at that game covering it for the Columbian, and Camas was trailed by, you know, 3 or more touchdowns at one point going into half, and crawled back in Jake Blair, then a sophomore quarterback's first varsity minutes. They came back, 31-point deficit. They almost closed the door, but Lincoln's stud, Julian Simon, had a game-winning interception on a 2-point conversion to seal the game for Lincoln, and they'll get with much of the same rosters on both teams. Blair is now the full-time starting quarterback, so Camas gets another shot at Lincoln a year later, and hopefully the game kind of matches up the same way as it did last year.
Well, I mean, I don't think Jake's going to have I don't think he's going to remember, you know, he'd be too disappointed that, you know, his first varsity action ended on a 2-point conversion interception by a future NFL player. So But he'll get his rematch against Julian Simon. Like you said, that whole Lincoln defense is pretty much back, other than the defensive line. They added Donovan Clark from Sumner, who you've seen play live on TV as well. So it's going to be a real, real ball hawking type defense. And Camus has got, you know, what I like about Camus this year is they got arguably the best offensive line in the state, and they can play power football with anybody if they want to, and they have one of the most physical receivers in Clemmer. And I just think Camus is kind of, I don't know how this happens. I mean, they just won a state championship a few years ago. Maybe it's because Unions is the new king down there, but it seems to me that Camus, maybe people are sleeping on a little bit. I think that they're going to be a real force all year down in Vancouver and at the state level here in October, November, and if they play their cards right in December.
Yeah, I mean, coming off a year where they go 5-5, Camus goes 5-5 and doesn't make the state playoffs, loses in the district crossover regional round. You know, I know there were a few they'd like to get back, and they get a chance to exact some revenge to start off the year. So it should be an exciting game. Todd, you and I, all of our coverage is going to be on scorebooklive.com/Washington. We'll be active on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at SB Live WA, or just Scorebook Live Washington. So be sure to follow along. We'll be certainly excited for the year to kick off, and we'll have a busy week of week one games.
Yeah, and then we'll have some bells and whistles on before you head off to your games. We're going to have a all classification top 25. Who's going to be our number one team in the state, regardless of classification? I think many of you can probably guess, but we're going to have our five biggest questions of the season, and then hey, Andy and I are going to get out there on a ledge. And we're going to have our bold predictions for each classification. So there's a lot of really cool coverage. And then our three preseason all-state teams. So there's a lot of cool stuff coming your way tonight and throughout the weekend, both as a walk-up to the games, and then obviously our game coverage. So I hope everybody looks for it. We're looking forward to bringing it to you guys.
Certainly. We're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors. But after the break, Dan caught up with Olympia's 6'10 incoming junior Jackson Grant, who has an offer from Washington and has had an exciting summer. So after the break, you'll hear from Dan and Jackson. So stay tuned.
Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live Washington, here with junior from Olympia, Jackson Grant. Jackson's one of the guys who came into last season a little bit under the radar, but he is very well known throughout the Northwest and becoming very well known across the country as well. Jackson, thanks for joining us. First thing I wanted to ask you is for many players in the Northwest and nationally, they think of Seattle when it comes to Northwest basketball. You're kind of tucked in a corner of the South Puget Sound area in Olympia. So maybe not a lot of people have seen your game in person. How would you describe your game?
I would describe my game as I started as a low post, so I've always played post my whole life because I've always been the biggest guy. But so that's kind of where my main game is, the post game. But I can stretch the floor. I can drive the ball a little bit. I can shoot it really well. So I can see myself like a stretch four is kind of my game.
The stretch four position is something that's becoming extremely valuable at all levels of basketball, but in particular at the college game, it's almost interchangeable parts and pieces. Is there a particular player right now in college or maybe even the pros that you kind of pattern your game after to a certain extent?
I don't think there's really a particular player I pattern my game after. I've just kind of noticed how as the game has developed, there's no more just like bang inside big guys. So I've kind of just developed my game as the game has evolved to be able to continue to be effective and what's needed in college in the next level.
Absolutely. There's almost becoming positionless on the floor these days at all levels. When the upcoming season for Olympia, Coach John Kiley has, in some of the things that I've read and heard from other coaches, he's very high on this group, thinks that you guys have a ton of potential. When you look at it as a leader and one of the main focal points of the team, what needs to happen, what needs to come together for Olympia to make a return trip to the state tournament and possibly challenge for a state title?
I think we just need to play our game of basketball. Last year what got us in trouble was if we played bad teams, we wouldn't play our best. We kind of played to the competition. So we just need to play our game and not let people speed us up or change how we play, because we're going to be really good this year if we just play our game. I've seen how we can do it. We've beat really good teams when we play our way, and we can be a really good team. So we just need to get that mindset that just playing our way every time and not letting our opponent affect how we play, and then we'll be really good.
There's an interesting, you mentioned mindset. You know, so many people are enthralled with the AAU scene, and rightfully so, because quite frankly, that's where players like yourself have the opportunity to be seen by coaches and have an opportunity to play at the next level. But what is some of the main differences in your game between the high school season playing under Coach John Kiley and the AAU season, where you play for a very good coach, Carl Howell, in Washington Supreme? What's the difference in how you play in both settings?
I think in high school there's just a little more set up. It's a little slower paced, so I'm usually more inside in high school. But Coach Kiley does let me stretch the floor a lot, which is nice. And then it's kind of similar to how Coach Howell does things, because he isn't like a traditional AAU coach. A lot of AAU coaches, what people think of when they think of AAU basketball, is a lot of just kind of scrappy, just up and down the court type of basketball like that. That's not how Coach Howell is. We always had sets and stuff to run, so I really liked that. But they're pretty similar. I just say the pace of the game was a lot faster in AAU, and the players are a lot better. Like, there's nobody that you're playing against that's just bad. Like, in high school, you can get against a big that's playing because he's big, but he's not skilled. There's nobody like that in AAU. Everybody you played against was a challenge every night, every weekend, time you played.
And in playing for Washington Supreme on the Under Armour circuit, you're playing against a lot of the top competition across the country. You know, following some of the opportunities that you had this past spring and summer, you had a busy summer. You were invited to USA Basketball's event in July where, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there was 40 high school players across the country, kind of as a developmental program and keep their eye on some of the young up-and-comers. Can you describe the feeling that you had being invited to a USA Basketball event and then what everything that went on during that event?
Yeah, so when I first heard that I got invited to USA, I was kind of shocked initially, because I knew I'd been playing well on the circuit, but I didn't know I was doing that well. I knew USA was like, that's like the top of where you can get in high school basketball, is to play for Team USA. So I was just really excited to, you know, represent my country at the mini camp and stuff. That's everybody's kind of dream, is to play for your country. And it was just kind of a lot of good skill work. So like, worked on your skills, we played some games, but it was also a lot of good just bonding with the other guys that you might have played against a lot, that were kind of opponents on the floor. But then once you get with them off the floor, it's a lot of just nice guys and a lot of time to hang out with those guys and just meet guys that are similar, to living kind of the same lifestyle, you know, the busy basketball lifestyle. And they also we did a lot of classroom stuff, so like working on our mentality and our mental strength and all that stuff to get prepared for like the next level, and just how to kind of control, keep this busy lifestyle under control and keep you attached with like the other parts of your life that are important.
Heck of an accomplishment to be invited at such a young age to be a part of a USA Basketball event. In doing that, you, as mentioned, had a chance to play against a lot of the highly recruited and ranked players across the country and get to know them a little bit. When you see yourself playing against those high-level players, what are some of the things that you feel that you may still need to work on to continue to trend in the right direction and get yourself ready to play at the college level?
I think something I need to work on is mostly the number one thing I'd say is just like being able to play without like sense, like just kind of knowing the game, how like the flow of the game goes, and being able to like create my own shot and stuff, not having people like have to pass me the ball when I'm open and shoot it, like being able to create space for myself and get myself open and play kind of better in that open gym kind of fast paced style when there's no real sets and no real like set basketball, just that open gym style of basketball. I think I need to get better at it.
That's a good observation, and as we've talked about earlier in this conversation, is the game is becoming positionless. It's becoming a space and pace game, and it's trickling down to all levels, and for you to be aware of that and observe it and want to work on it is great to hear. Everybody is always interested in the recruiting aspect of high-ranked and high-profile high school athletes, and I can only imagine yours is no different. At this point, you're just about to start your junior year of high school. Have you pinpointed any schools? Have you focused on any schools in particular? What is your time frame? Because I know a lot of people want to get things kind of out of the way early in the process. Where are you at with that, and are you enjoying the process?
Yeah, well, I'll address the second part first. I really am enjoying the process. It's great to be able to talk to all these coaches and have this opportunity to get a college education for free and go play basketball at almost the highest level in the nation against the best players in the nation with the best coaches. And just that whole aspect of it just really excites me. And as far as, like, committing and stuff goes and, like, the process, it's been kind of, it hasn't been, I haven't felt too pressured by anybody to commit, and I haven't felt too overwhelmed with like a bunch of schools, so I haven't cut anybody out of my list, and I haven't really pinpointed anybody. But if I get a school that I really feel like I fit in with, and I really feel good about like the program and the coaches and the players and how they play and their style and how all that works out, then I could see myself committing probably by the end of this basketball season. And if that doesn't happen, then I'll just keep doing what I'm doing and I'll play AAU next year and see what pans out.
Well, Jackson, it sounds like you're going to have a lot of great options based upon what I've seen in person of you at different events, what other coaches, both at the high school level and the AAU programs have shared about your game. I know there's a number of schools that would love to have you a part of their program down the road, but I also know that your high school experience is something that you value, and I'm looking forward to following you this upcoming season, and we appreciate you being a part of Scorebook Live Washington's podcast today.
Sounds good. Thank you.